A blessed good morning. Thank you for tuning in to the Because He Lives radio broadcast, brought to you by the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District. I want to take this opportunity to thank Federal Motor Spares for its continued sponsorship and support of this broadcast. My name is Allison Lord-Bess, and I am the Central Zone President of the Nazarene Youth International Ministry. Let us pray. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Almighty God, we give you thanks for making this broadcast a reality. And it is our prayer that you will take control. And as you do, Lord, may your word go forth to enlighten and strengthen the hearts and minds of your people. These things we ask in no other name than the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is indeed a privilege to be able to share with you this morning as the NYI Ministry concludes its series on its theme for the year, Rebuild, Retool, and Reposition. As I share with you, I not only want to look at the book of Nehemiah, but I also want to relate it to our lives. I am sure that all of us would have gone through some form of struggle or trial at some point in time in our lives, which would have caused a part of us to become broken or fractured. This morning, as I speak, while I draw reference from the book of Nehemiah and his quest, dedication, and commitment to rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, I want us to not only look at what he endured, but I also want us to look at his perseverance and the end result of the walls being rebuilt. So, let's go. First, I want to address the process of rebuilding. I am sure that one would agree that you rebuild things which are fractured or broken. But in order to start that rebuilding process, you first need to recognize that that thing, whatever it may be, is indeed broken and in need of repair. In Nehemiah's time, he recognized that the physical walls of Jerusalem were broken down, and in them being in that state, it exposed the people, his people, God's chosen people, to danger. As such, it grieved him so much that he knew that he had to do something about it. Like Nehemiah, we too have structures in our lives which may need to be rebuilt. And like him, we too first have to recognize that they are indeed broken and in need of repair. These things, no matter what they may be, can be considered walls or openings which makes us vulnerable by creating an opening which allows the enemy access to come in and destroy or wreak havoc in our lives. And I want you to recognize that these things can be found in our everyday lives. Things such as our marriages, our relationships with family, friends, and co-workers, in our ministries, but especially in our relationships with Almighty God. I must say though, that sometimes it can be difficult to recognize that there's a fracture, unless that wall has been completely torn down. Nevertheless, recognizing that things have changed, things are strained, or things are not as they were, or in some instances you may experience feelings where you are uncomfortable about a situation, well, these are signs that there is something in need of repair. In Nehemiah's case, the physical state of the broken down walls of Jerusalem hurt him to the core that he cried out to God asking for his help, direction, and favor in doing something about this situation. It is in that moment, like Nehemiah, that one ought to recognize that there is a need to rebuild or to do something about the situation. It is in these moments of recognizing that we need to cry out to God about the situation and ask for his direction and help. I want us to recognize here from the story of Nehemiah that he did not just get up and start rebuilding. He prayed to God and asked for his direction. Sometimes in our haste, we can start a task or a major project without God's consent, and that can result in its failure. Let me suggest here that whatever decision you make in your life, big or small, as children of God, who is the creator of everything and who knows everything and every outcome before it happens, you need to ask God's direction. Now, at this point of recognizing that there is a need to rebuild or repair, one may not be aware of the extent of the damage. As such, there's need to evaluate the situation. In Nehemiah's case, he went to Jerusalem, and what stands out here is that he assessed the damage of the walls alone. What is so significant here, as we can see in verses 12 and 16 of Nehemiah chapter 2, is that he did not share what he was doing with anyone at that point of inspection. Those in the city did not know where he went or what he was doing. Why do you think that was? I want to posit here that he believed that if he had told anyone, somebody would have tried to discourage or dissuade him. I am sure that you too can recognize that there are some persons in your own lives who, before we can start, or would try, that they try to dissuade us from doing something. They find a problem or a challenge with everything that we are planning to do, and they try to discourage us from starting. This is evident in the behaviors of Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, some of Nehemiah's acquaintances. From the time they knew what he was planning to do, they put up opposition. What is it that God is calling you to do that someone may be encouraging you not to do? Nevertheless, Nehemiah did not allow this to stop him. He was adamant and resolute in his decision to ensure that the walls would be rebuilt. No matter what they said, he stood resolute that this was something that he was going to do. In essence, Nehemiah did not allow what they thought or what they said to stop him from doing the work. When we examine our own lives and our circumstances, there may be some things that we need to keep close to our chest, as the old people would say, in order to aid us to not become discouraged before we start. As the saying goes, don't let your left hand know what your right hand doing. There are many sources of doubt which one may encounter when completing a task. Sometimes the size of the task alone can be a major barrier for us to start, rectify, or rebuild anything in our lives. One may be of the view that this has been going on for so long that who are you to do anything about it? There are so many questions and doubts which could come to mind, such as, if there are persons involved, the thought of, I don't know how I can speak to that person. I don't know how they will react. Or in looking at the task, one may think, look, this may be too much for me to do. Look, let somebody else do it. Or, that's their problem, not mine. Yes, there may be many negatives or deterring thoughts coming into your mind, but you cannot afford to hold on to them. If you do, the situation never changes, or it can have the potential to become worse. So while I don't know what your situation is this morning, I want to encourage you not to allow it to stop you from starting that rebuilding process. Once you have committed to rebuilding, the next step is to secure the tools you will need to accomplish the task. It is at this point that you begin to recognize what will be involved in order for you to complete that task. It can also be at that point where doubts again resurface as to if the task can actually be completed. In the book of Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, Paul encouraged the people of Philippi. He said, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. the work that God has called us, His people, to do is geared towards building up His kingdom, not tearing it down. As such, the rebuilding process can be seen as God's way of guiding us to restoring something in our lives that is broken. And as I would have said before, this can entail our relationships or our ministries. In Nehemiah's case, one of the tools needed for the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem was for the people to arm themselves. This tool was valuable to them at that time because of the opposition that they came up against. In our rebuilding process, we too may need to arm ourselves. Unlike the people in Nehemiah's day, rather than physically taking up arms, this may take the form of guarding our minds against the negativity and the naysayers which one may face. It is in these moments that you need to keep your hearts and minds stayed on Christ Jesus, trusting Him that this is the path He is calling you to be on, and that this is what He desires for you to do for His kingdom. Challenges may also arise in finding the right or necessary tools needed to complete the task. As children of God, I am sure that we all know that the enemy would use any and every tactic to prevent you from completing the work that God has called you to do. It is at this point and throughout the process that you need to keep trusting God. And let me say this, that trusting Him needs to be a continuous process. He is a God who supplies your every need. And if you are acting in the will of God, you can be assured that He already has a plan in place for how you will accomplish what you have started. So, if the task requires people, trust God to supply the right people for the job. If it requires resources, trust God to supply the resources needed to complete the task. No matter what you need, God is able and will supply you with the tools you need to complete the task. In Nehemiah's case, God supplied the people to do the work, and each family came together and worked on their assigned parts, and eventually they completed the entire wall. As they say, many hands make light work. So if hands are required, trust God to supply them. While God is working for us, we too need to be in constant communion with Him, allowing Him to guide us in every aspect of our lives. As such, one needs a discerning spirit, whereby you will be able to recognize who is for you and who is against you. Such was the case for Nehemiah when Sanballat and Tobiah, who were plotting to harm him, when they summoned him to meet with them. Let me tell you, when you are doing the work of the Lord, the enemy will try to frighten or even harm you. So you must be constantly in prayer. This will aid in not only giving direction on the task ahead, but strengthening you in the process. And yes, the enemy will also come as wolves in sheep clothing to discourage or to frighten you. This was seen in Shemaiah, in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 10 to 13, where he prophesied to Nehemiah what Sanballat and Tobiah had paid him to do in order to frighten him off from completing the task. But like Nehemiah, we must not be afraid or allow the enemy to discredit our commitment to doing the Lord's work. So after you have recognized the need to rebuild, and God has equipped you with the tools you need, the next step is for you to complete the task and fortify those walls. God is not calling us to live in a broken or vulnerable state. He's calling us to live a life of security and victory in Him, where we are strengthened and can stand up against the enemy. Maybe you have backslidden. Maybe you have fallen away from the faith. Maybe your zeal for the things of God have waned. But in the midst of it, let me remind you that God has not forgotten you. He has not forsaken, nor has he abandoned you. Just like the exiles returned to Jerusalem from captivity, you too can come back and be restored from the place where you have fallen. God is calling you to restore you to the state that you were previously in, or to elevate you to something even better than you could ever experience or imagine before. God is using those broken walls in your lives and those situations to strengthen you and cause you to rise up. But you need to seek him first. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 tells us, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Not some, but all things. As the Israelites prayed to God for forgiveness, we too need to cleanse ourselves and ask God to forgive us. Along with asking God for forgiveness, we too may need to forgive others in order for us to rebuild. How can you build, especially a relationship, on a foundation of unforgiveness? God is a forgiving, gracious, and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. Because of his love for us, he stands ready to not only forgive us of our transgressions, but to restore us. Just like God forgives us and shows us love, we too may need to use these same tools of love and compassion in our rebuilding process. So this morning, is there anything in your life which is broken? Or even if you yourself are broken? If you feel like all is lost and there is no hope, let me tell you, there is hope in Jesus. There is victory in Jesus. Nothing is impossible with him. He is the God of possibilities. And when you submit to him, he can and he is able to turn everything around for his good. That zeal, that strength, that power that comes from not only accepting him, but from committing yourself to his will reposition you to a place of victory. Whatever it is that is broken will be restored. Healing will come. Things will turn around. And whatever it is that was broken will be restored to life again. Hallelujah. James chapter 1 verse 12 tells us, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." God is waiting to take those broken pieces, put them through that refining process, and in the end, you will emerge like pure gold. God is calling you this morning to rebuild your relationships. He's calling you this morning to rebuild your ministries. He's calling you this morning to rededicate your lives to him. No matter what lies ahead of this life, just know that God is able and he will supply your every need. Over the past years, and especially with the onset of COVID, there has been some falling away from the things of God. The churches are emptier. Some ministries have ceased. And the enemy seems to be gaining more and more ground, while the people of God seem to be running and in hiding. These things are spoken about in the Bible when referencing what will happen in the last days. However, the Bible also states in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 that God does not want any of us to perish. These falling of the way can be seen as broken walls, which has left us vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. But thank God, we do not have to continue in that state. Hallelujah. Now is the time for us to stand up, reclaim, and reestablish the kingdom of God here on earth. Now is the time to reclaim and reestablish God in our homes, in our communities, and in our churches. We cannot be like shrinking violets. No. Let us continue to share the message of Christ as we seek to rebuild his kingdom here on earth. It may be a Sunday school and discipleship ministry. It may be the missionary department. It may be the role of your church membership. Or it may be your local NYIU for young people ministry. Whatever area of ministry it is, God is calling his people into service. And it is up to us to rebuild his kingdom. It is up to us to seek his direction and take up the tools he has already provided or will provide us with and reposition him as the head of the church and Lord of our lives, our one and true living King, Jesus Christ. I challenge you today to do your part to reposition the kingdom of God. Now is the appointed time to come in from a world of darkness and be surrounded by his marvelous light. He is waiting for you with open arms. The question is, will you make the decision to accept him today and allow him to restore you to all that he has called you to be? It does not matter if you have never built anything before in your life, because when God calls you, he equips you. As we can see from the story of Nehemiah, the journey is not for the swift, but for the one who endures to the end. Don't give up. My brothers and sisters, now is the appointed time. Don't wait another moment. Start the rebuilding process today and allow God to position you, to reposition you to the place he has called you to be. There are so many stories in the Bible. And if we were to look at the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, we see him going from slave to prince. God not only restored him, but he elevated Joseph to a higher place than Joseph could have ever imagined. God equipped him with the gift or tool of interpreting dreams to put him in that position. What gift or gifts have God equipped you with, which can be used for his honor and glory? What gift or tool do you have that God can use? Look at Nehemiah and the criticisms he faced. You too will face criticisms, but you must not allow them to deter you. Instead, you must use them to fuel your passion and desire to complete in your task. Be committed to put everything into it. One may also think that once walls have been rebuilt and you have been restored or repositioned, the journey ends. Let me tell you, that is not the case. There will always be room for one to fall back into that previous state, where something happens which has the potential to bring your downfall. But I want to encourage you not to give up, not to let that deter you from moving forward. But I want you to use it to continue to encourage you to encourage each other. Do not allow the enemy to get a foothold, which will cause things to go back to a state of brokenness or disrepair. As a child of God, you need to be constantly standing up for what is right and just in his sight, and to ensure that those walls are not pulled down again. So as I conclude, in retrospect, what are we really rebuilding? In the Lord's Prayer, we read, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." God has called us to build his kingdom here on earth. So while we are working on rebuilding our relationships and our ministries, the truth is, in doing so, we are really rebuilding God's kingdom here on earth. And because we are doing the work for which He has called all of us, He will equip us with the tools that we need. And in time to come, and as the return of Christ draws nearer, we will see Him repositioned as Lord of this world. Just like Jesus was lifted upon the cross, the work we are now called to do will assist in repositioning Him as Lord of our lives. I want to challenge you this morning to open your eyes and look. Do you see any broken walls? In seeing, you recognize that they are broken. Now, are you ready to fight and do all in your power to fix or repair them? If you are, I want to encourage you to take your place or position and stand up and be a representative of who God created you to be. Take your position as a servant of God, ready to do His will by serving others also. But in doing so, remember that you cannot do it without God. So this morning, I want us to seriously commit to rebuilding, retooling, and repositioning our lives to a place where we are grounded in Christ, to a place where we are doing the work which He has called us to do, knowing and believing that we will achieve and complete what we have started, because nothing is impossible with God, and seeking Him and putting Him first in our lives will allow us to accomplish all that He has called us to do. So Father, this morning we recommit our lives to Your service. We ask You to forgive us of our sins. Where we have erred, Lord God, just help us and forgive us. We also ask for Your help, Lord, as You equip us for the task ahead and give us the strength and the zeal to complete the work which You have called us to do, creating us a new heart and renew a right spirit within us. Have Your way in our lives this day, we pray, in no other name than the name of Your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving. Amen. Again, on behalf of the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District, the Nazarene Youth International Ministry, we want to thank you for tuning in to this radio broadcast, and we want to thank our sponsors, Federal Motor Spares, for their continued support. God bless you. Because
final war.